Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series. This is the end of my second week of teaching on a sure foundation, and that's the title that I've given to the first teaching that I do in our Charis Bible College, just establishing the importance of God's Word and how we've got to have it rooted in our life to be able to succeed as a Christian. And I'm teaching on this. This is, like I said, the end of my second week. I've just been trying to emphasize this, and I've used two of the parables of Jesus. I taught on one parable from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, about a man who just sows seed in the ground and he sleeps and rises and it works. And then now I've been teaching on the parable of the sower sowing the seed. And I've already covered a lot of material. It's really, what I'm going to say today is really dependent upon some of the things that I've said before. So I encourage you to please get the entire teaching so that it could have its maximum effect. Real quickly, let me just set this up by saying that in Mark chapter 4, verse 14 through 20 is the explanation or the interpretation of the parable Jesus gave about a man who just threw seed everywhere and it fell on four different types of ground, and only one of those four types of ground brought forth fruit. And he's using this to illustrate how the Word works. The Word is like the seed. The ground is like our heart. There are four different conditions of men's hearts, and I believe there's also a sequence here. We all start out with our heart hardened towards the things of God. And we'll hear some truths about God, but if it doesn't get through our understanding, if we don't understand it, it doesn't penetrate and get into our heart. And so Satan, just like a bird could pick a seed off of the ground because it didn't ever get down below the ground, likewise, Satan can just steal the Word from people that don't understand. But then the second type of person, this is what I was talking about on our program yesterday, is a person who hears the Word and receives it with gladness. Now, this is a person who's understood the Word. They see the potential. They know that the Word of God is beginning to impact them, and they get excited about it. But the end result is that they don't bear fruit either because afflictions and persecution in Mark chapter 4, verse 17 comes, and the people are offended, and they don't bring forth fruit. And I started saying some things about this yesterday, about how that when you really receive the Word, you are going to be persecuted. Jesus said this of himself. He says, a prophet isn't without honor except in his own house and among his own kin and in his own nation. I don't understand all of the reasons for that, but I think part of it is that, you know, these people who saw you grow up as a baby and they know every wart, every blemish on you, I'm not talking about just physically, but I'm talking about in your emotions, every mistake that you've ever done, they may love you, but they, I don't know, they just see you certainly as not being above them, maybe not even equal to them. Maybe they see you as the runt of the litter and things like this, and they just have this impression about you. And then the Word of God comes into your life and you start speaking faith and speaking that God wants to bless you and that you are going to walk in divine health. And you start speaking things that are contrary to just being old Joe Blow Christian. And you start speaking victory and success. And you know what it does? In a sense, it condemns them. If what you're saying is true, then it means that they're living below their privilege, that they could do better, that they've been suffering with sickness or with poverty or with depression or with defeat. And if what you are saying is right, well, then it condemns them. And so it's really jealousy. Or here's another way of saying it. It's like when a person comes into a courtroom and testifies, if that testimony that they're giving is a condemning testimony to, like, the defendant, you know what the lawyer will do? He will seek to discredit that witness. Because if you can discredit the witness and show that, man, their word is no good, that they've been convicted of this, that they've been a liar, they've stolen or whatever, then basically, even though what they're saying, and it might be absolutely true what they're saying, and their testimony would condemn the defendant and put him in jail, If you can discredit the witness, then the power of that testimony just goes away. It's like it never happened. And so when you begin to start getting excited about the Word and saying, praise God, I'm believing God, miracles are happening, people who don't have miracles working in their life, people who aren't excited about the Word are going to be condemned by your enthusiasm. It's going to be like, well, if what you're saying is right, then I'm not living a full, abundant Christian life. And rather than them humbling themselves and admitting that and changing, the easier thing to do is to try and discredit you. So they just come out against you and they criticize you and blast you, hoping that that will make you back down. That's exactly what's going on. The way I say it is that if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps the loudest got hit. The person who persecutes you the most is a person who's under conviction that your lifestyle is convicting them, and they don't want that. They can't handle the guilt and the condemnation. And so rather than using repentance and forgiveness to cope with that sense that I'm failing in an area, the easier thing to do is just to knock you down. If they can't climb up to where you are, then just pull you down to where they are. That's really what's behind persecution. And it's going to happen to every single person. Again, I quote this verse, I've already used it, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The only reason you wouldn't be persecuted is if you aren't living godly. You know, I've come to grips with this. I was sharing yesterday that there was a time that I would go and I'd listen to other people preach the Word and I'd get excited and come back and it'd last for a week or maybe 2 weeks. But after a while, after being criticized, I just lost my enthusiasm. I lost my excitement, or I believe the scriptural way to say it is I lost that faith. I was actually living off of the faith of other people. The faith wasn't in me. And see, this is what it's describing in this second type of person. Look at this again in verse 16. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. See, this is very descriptive of what was going on with me. This is when the Lord revealed this parable to me, and it really began to impact my life. And I was in a situation where I'd go listen to other people, and I'd come back to the church I was in and preach their revelation. I was living off of their faith. It was their study of the Word, and I was excited. But the root wasn't in myself, and so therefore, when affliction and persecution came, I got offended. If you are offended, if you're backing down on what you've said because of the turmoil that it's causing, because of the criticism that's coming your way, because somebody's giving you a look or something like that. If you are offended and if the Word of God isn't working in your life, then the bottom line is that root isn't in yourself. You might get excited when I preach it. You might get excited when somebody else preaches it. But you don't have it rooted on the inside of you. See, this is exactly where I was, and God showed me that this is the reason that you aren't seeing lasting fruit. You can only go for a brief period of time, and then you start getting no results until you go back and get another dose. It was because the root wasn't in myself. I was preaching another person's revelation. And you know, those of you who've watched my program often will know that I don't normally refer to a lot of people's names. And there's multiple reasons for doing that. I think sometimes people try and ride on the coattail of other people. They're always dropping names, and that tries to make them feel more important. And I don't want to do that. But Kenneth Copeland is really a guy that made a huge impact in my life. God used him supernaturally to get me going. But the reason you don't hear me speak about him much is because he was the one. I was going over to his meetings. I was getting fired up, and I was coming back and preaching. Here's what Kenneth said. And I was preaching his revelation and using his teachings and memorizing his teachings. And when the Lord spoke to me about the reason that you get offended is because you don't have root in yourself, I made a decision that, you know what, I'm never going to have to say, Kenneth Copeland said, or this person said, or somebody else said. It's going to be God told me. And I may hear God speak to me through another person, but I'm not going to take it just because I heard it through them. I'm going to take it and meditate on it until it starts germinating and put down roots in my life. And because of that, I very seldom mention other people, not because other people haven't been used in my life, but even though I may hear them say something, I meditate on it until it becomes mine. And therefore, when I get it directly from the Lord and when it starts working, it's because God spoke it to me, even though I might have first heard it through somebody else. So it's not intentional that I'm trying to disassociate myself with anybody. It's just that I'm saying that the Word needs to be revelation to you. You know, even if you hear me say something and if God uses me to touch your life, you don't need to go out and start telling people, well, Andrew Womack says. You need to take these truths, and if it's speaking to you, go to God and meditate and give it time for it to become reality in your life. Let it take root so that you don't have to quote me, but instead you can say, God says, the Word says, and it's your revelation that you got directly from God. Even if I'm the one that introduced you to it, you should be waiting until it gets rooted on the inside of you. When I was in the sixth grade, there was an experiment that my teacher did, and he had me sitting on the front row right in front of his desk so that I wouldn't talk. And anyway, he did this experiment, and he took two terrariums, and he planted tomato seeds in both terrariums. They were the same size. They were on the same spot. They got the same amount of sun. We watered them every day. Everything was identical, except one terrarium only had like an inch of dirt in it, and the other one might have had, I don't know, 9 inches or even a foot of dirt in it. And so we planted those seeds. Everything was identical. We planted the seeds on the exact same day, and then we began to just watch what would happen. And did you know that the one that only had an inch of dirt in it, that thing sprouted first. And it grew up, and you couldn't even see. There wasn't any green above the dirt on the one that had a lot of dirt. But the one that only had an inch of dirt, that thing sprouted quickly. It began to grow. And did you know that that tomato plant that was planted in only an inch of dirt was nearly 12 inches tall before the other one even began to start coming out of the ground? Now, a lot of people would look at that and think, well, man, it must be better to have just a tiny bit of dirt. No, what was happening was that since there wasn't enough dirt in that one that with only an inch of dirt, the seed germinated, but it couldn't put the growth into the roots because there was nowhere for them to go. So it put all of the growth into the outward thing, the thing that was above ground, but it didn't have a root system to sustain it. And after it got about a foot tall, did you know that that thing just began to wither? It actually turned white and died, and it just shriveled up, and the other one was just beginning to go. And eventually, the one that was in the deep ground, did you know that we had to stake that tomato plant and tie it to that stake, and that thing grew, and it produced tomatoes, and it was quite a lesson. But here's the point. If you don't have room, if you don't have any root in yourself, well, then there may be this outward thing that looks good for a period of time, but you won't be able to sustain the growth if you don't put roots down. And this is where a lot of Christians are missing it. When the Lord revealed this scripture to me, this is what the problem was in my life. I would hear somebody else preach something and I recognized the truth and I would get excited and just run with it before I had taken it and meditated on it and made it mine personally. It wasn't my revelation. It wasn't real to me. I mean, I was excited about it. It's not that I was rejecting it, but it just takes time to get roots put down. If you plant a seed, the first thing that seed is going to do is put roots down. Matter of fact, there's usually 2 to 3 times as much root underground as there is growth above the ground. You know, again, when I was a kid, here's another illustration that we lived in Arlington, Texas, and we had 23 pecan trees in our yard. And we had this St. Augustine grass, so it was real thick grass. And those pecans would fall, and of course we picked them up and had to shell them and stuff, but every once in a while those pecans would fall and they'd get down into that ground and they'd start sprouting. And I mean, there was just always pecan trees sprouting up in that yard. And so it was my job to go out and pull up those little pecan trees. And being a typical kid, I had better things to do than pull up pecan trees. And so I would ignore them until they got tall enough that they were above the grass and my parents could see them as they drove in, and they'd have to tell me to go get it. And I learned this, that if I waited until one of those pecan trees was a foot tall, did you know there was 3 feet of roots? And I'd have to go get a shovel and dig those things out to be able to get them by the roots and stop that thing from growing. If when they were just, you know, an inch or two tall, I could usually grab those, and if the ground was soft, I could pull the pecan tree and the root and everything up all at one time. And I learned that there is at least 2 to 3 times as much root below the ground as there is above the ground. That's the way that God made things. And that's the way that it should be working spiritually. That when you take the Word of God and you start believing the Word of God and putting it in your heart, people want to see these outward visible results right away. They just want an instant miracle. They want something that you plant, and it's like Jack and the Beanstalk. You plant the thing, and the next morning the plant's all the way up to heaven. That's what people are looking for. But, you know, it doesn't work that way. The growth, first of all, goes into the root system before you start seeing this outward manifestation. You know, here's another parable. This is in Mark chapter 4. Let me read this to you in Mark chapter 4 and verse 30. It says, "Wherefore shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Now, that passage of Scripture right there, when I was drafted and sent to Vietnam, I had a really bad experience with the gas chamber. They put you in this gas chamber and release CS gas to teach you how to put on your gas mask and clear it. Anyway, I won't go into the gory details, but I thought I was going to die in the States when they did that to us. When we got to Vietnam, they announced that they were going to put us through this gas chamber the next day, and I hated it. I hated it so much I was saying, "God, I'll do anything." And at breakfast that morning, they asked for a volunteer. And typically in the Army, you just don't volunteer. It's just crazy. There's no telling what they're going to do, and usually it's not good. And so typically you didn't volunteer, but when they asked for a volunteer, I volunteered. I figured if they made me one of the targets on the rifle range, that wouldn't be as bad as going through the gas chamber. I just thought I hadn't got anything to lose, so I volunteered. And you know what it turned out my job was? I was bunker guard. While everybody else went through the gas chamber, I sat in the barracks and just laid on a bunk and made sure that nobody stole anything from anybody else, and I didn't have a thing to do. It was awesome. And so anyway, I was sitting there reading the Word, and I came to this passage of Scripture about this mustard seed. And I was thinking, "God, that's what I want to be, like this mustard seed." It says it becomes this great tree that's so huge that all the fowls of the air come lodge in the branches. And I said, "God, that's what I would like to be. I would like to have Your Word working in my life so strongly that, I mean, you know, I could be shelter for other people. I could help other people." And I was just seeing this huge, huge tree and saying, "God, help me to be like that." And I remember laying on that bunk in Vietnam, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, "Andrew," He says, "if I gave you this growth above ground, like what you're desiring right now, with the root system that you've got, it's only an inch deep." And He said, "the very first bird that landed on one of your branches, the whole tree would fall over." He says, "the very first puff of wind, that whole thing would blow over." He says, "don't worry about the growth above ground. Don't worry about all of these other things. You just make sure you get rooted and grounded. You let the Word take root on the inside of you." And again, that was a major encounter with the Lord. And God told me that, and I tell you, it just gave me focus. And when I was in Vietnam, I was spending as many as 10 to 15 hours a day just studying the Word and letting the Word take root on the inside of me. And see, this is the way I believe it is with most people. Most people are wanting results. Oh, God, I want my marriage to change. I want my job to change. I want this. I want healing in my body. I want all of these things. But we want it right now, and we want it without very much effort. That's like this second type of person who was excited about the Word, wanted the results of the Word, but didn't take the time to let it become rooted and grounded in their heart. And so, when you start stepping out and trying to let the Word work in your life, if you don't have it established in your heart, then Satan is going to come against you with afflictions and persecutions for the Word's sake, and you'll become offended, and you'll lose all of that momentum. You'll lose all of these things that you're desiring. And that's where a large, large segment of the body of Christ is. They know that the Word is real. They know that the Word can work. They're excited about it, but they just haven't got it rooted on the inside of them. And it takes time. It takes time. And you know, the root is below the ground. Other people aren't seen when you're getting rooted. You know, there are some of you, there's a lot of people that watch this program that aren't impressed with me or anything that I'm doing, but there's others who see that God's Word is working in my life, that it's made a difference in my life, and you admire the results that I'm getting. And yet, did you know, you don't see these times that I've spent 10, 15 hours a day for years studying the Word. When I was doing that, nobody was around. I wasn't on television. I didn't have any tapes. I didn't have any books. Nobody was getting my stuff. It was just me and the Lord. And I was in the Word, and it was all putting roots down. There's a lot of people that would love to kill Goliath when the grandstands are full and all of the armies are looking and you're getting all of the kudos from everybody. But they don't want to kill the lion and the bear. They don't want to be faithful on the backside of the desert like David was in 1 Samuel chapter 17. They don't want to put roots down. They don't want to spend time alone with God. They would love to have all of these great results. But I'm telling you that if you want to see the supernatural power of God so that, like God did with me, that my son was raised from the dead, that now I am seeing God supply millions of dollars on a monthly basis so I can accomplish His plans for my life. If you want to see things like that work in your life, you know what? You need to put down roots. This is what happened with me. This is what these parables are teaching, that if you don't have root in yourself, you will not be able to endure when the sun rises, when the persecution comes, and you'll wilt. You'll be offended, and it's not going to produce. And the good news is that, you know what, it's never too late to get the Word rooted in you. Somebody says, but what if it takes 2 years? Well, then you'll never get there any quicker than to start today. Right now, you ought to be making a decision that, praise God, I'm going to put God's Word in my heart, and I'm not going to have to say Andrew Womack said or anybody else said, but you'll wait until God makes it real to you. It'll be your revelation rooted in your heart. You know, I'm out of time today, but I am going to continue this on our programs next week. So I encourage you to listen in and please get these materials. I tell you, you need this. It would help you. It would be a real blessing to you. Our announcer is going to share information with you about how you can get these materials, and please call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled A Sure Foundation is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Make sure to specify whether you want the CD or DVD album when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The second teaching in the Sure Foundation series titled Got a Need? Plant a Seed is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this second CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, I know that God was speaking to many of you today, and you just need to make a commitment. That, praise God, it's not going to be somebody else's revelation. You're going to receive this revelation. You know, these materials will help you, so please call and request them. But when you call for the materials, also ask for prayer. We have some really mature people who have taken the Word of God, and it's been rooted in their heart, and they understand this process. And you could just tell them that, you know what, I want to get the Word rooted in me. Would you just agree with me and pray with me that I'll be able to do that? And they could help you. It would be a real blessing. So, of course, we have our materials available through our phone center, but you could also call and receive prayer, so that number's on your screen. Please call today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance, January 28th through the 30th. And in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 4th through the 6th. And in Merritt Island, Florida, February 7th. He'll also be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th. And in Colorado Springs for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I know that many of you are being really blessed just talking about the power of God's Word to change your life. And you know, these programs are great, and the materials that I offer are great, and there are people that are getting the Word and their life is being changed. But did you know it's just amazing what happens when people sit under the Word 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, for 2 or 3 years. You get the equivalent of over 20 years worth of church attendance by coming to a Charis Bible College. And we not only have the one here in Colorado Springs, but we have 15 Bible colleges scattered around the world, and now we have an online Bible school. We have a number on your screen. I encourage you to call and ask about our Charis Bible Colleges.
Tune in Monday for more Gospel Truth.
The Word of God teaches you how to do everything in your life. This is the foundation. It should be the foundation. And I'm just telling you, I'm saying this in love. I know many of you are thinking I'm messing with you because you're sitting there saying it's my fault. That's exactly what I'm saying, amen. I'm saying that the Word of God teaches us how to live a righteous and godly life. And the reason most of us are in the mess that we are is because we have ignored God's Word.